He's half of the biggest selling duo of all time, having sold over 80 million records, scoring 10 number one songs, over 20 top 40 hits, and is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Not too shabby. From Daryl Hall and John Oates, good morning, John Oates.
Good morning. How's it going?
Pretty good. You know, sometimes, John, do you look back at all you've accomplished and go, well, did that really happen? Because it's just incredible.
Yeah, sometimes I look back at it that way, and sometimes I look back and I just say, you know what, I'm a very lucky, grateful, and blessed person to have been able to be allowed to do what I love to do ever since the beginning. And you know, I owe it to the world, to fans, and to a lot of hard work and a lot of commitment. So it's been a great experience to have a life as a musician and hopefully reach people around the world.
And I'm going to add to that your amazing talent, because you two guys together were just amazing with what you were able to accomplish. But even after all these years, you're still back on the road, and you're bringing your show, An Evening of Songs and Stories with John Oates, featuring Guthrie Trapp, who's an amazing guitarist, to Sony Hall in the city on March 22nd. But you tell stories about your songs, and one of the ones I wanted you to share this morning was the story behind the song Maneater, because I know it was inspired at a place here in New York.
That's right. You know, a lot of people think Maneater is about a woman, and it was definitely inspired by a woman, but it's actually about New York City. It's a song about New York City in the 80s. It was we used to hang out at a place called Mary Lou's down in the West Village, and it was a good friend of ours owned it, and all, you know, we used to hang out there late night, after hours kind of thing, and it was always, you know, a really, really great crowd of actors and musicians and models and all sorts of people like that. I like to say groovy 80s types. And one night a woman came in, this gal came in, and she was just absolutely beautiful, sat down at the table, started telling all these filthy jokes, and it was, you know, she was, her great beauty was in kind of stark contrast to her filthy vocabulary, let's put it that way. So as I was walking home, I thought to myself, man, she's like, she would chew you up and spit you out. So I went home and I started writing the chorus to Maneater. And I never got any further than the chorus, but it was a cool chorus. And I played it for Daryl, and he and I whipped it together. And as we wrote it, we said, you know, we don't want to make this about a girl. It can sound like it's about a girl, uh-huh. But we want to make it, it's got to be more. And we thought about New York City and how New York City can chew you up and spit you out. You know, that's it's New York City is one of those kind of places, that's really what the song's about.
Did you write the song about the girl because she shot you down when you went over and talked to her?
Yeah, there was no romantic connection at all.
Hey, I also hear that Rich Girl was not about a rich girl at all. Is that true?
Well, you know, Daryl wrote that song. It had to do with a guy who came over to the house, and he was a trust fund kid, and he seemed to be very irresponsible, and I think that's where he got the idea for that.
I gotcha. And you're still touring with Daryl.
Yeah, well, we don't have any dates planned yet this year. We just finished 20 dates in late 21, which we finished in the, you know, around November. And we'll probably go out again this summer.
I know you guys have been friends for 50 years, and I've heard it said that you guys have never really had a fight. Is that true?
We have a lot of similarities when it comes to music, but our personalities are 180 degrees apart.
Right.
And I guess it just works that way. I guess it works that way. Let's not be, you know, like, we can't be, you know, crazy here. I mean, of course we've had disagreements mm-hmm. over the years, you know, in all sorts of, you know, places. But we never had a fight, like, I hate you, I'll never talk to you again, right. You know, see you later, bye. No, that's never happened. But what we do is, I think we're smart enough to know when it gets tense or whatever, we just separate. We just go our separate ways, and then we come back when it feels right.
So, of course, you're coming to the city. Any places that you like to go to in New York City when you come back and visit?
You know, it's funny about New York City. You know, I was born in New York City, and, you know, I lived there until I was four, until we moved to Pennsylvania. But, you know, and I know the city so well, and New York City is, you know, really my home when it really comes down to it. But, you know, New York City changes constantly. And when you're away from it for a while, you know, you think you know the city, and sure, you know the streets, but you come back and there's new buildings and new restaurants and everything's changed. So it's fun for me to come back because, like I said, on one hand, I know the city so well. And on another hand, it's a totally new city. So it's kind of exciting that way.
The thing that I find amazing is in Nashville, where you live now, you'll just go and play at a local bar. Do people know who you are and you've sold a gazillion records?
Oh, man, I love playing the small venues in Nashville. It's one of my favorite places, things to do. I'll sit in and jam, and people, that's the beautiful thing about Nashville music community. People will call you up and say, hey, man, you around tonight? You want to come down and sit in?
Yeah.
And, I've got some great friends, people I've written songs with, I've played with in the studio, and sure, I love it. It's one of the greatest things. In fact, Guthrie and I are going to play the Bluebird Cafe, which is, a rite of passage in Nashville. I played it many, many times. And it's one of those things when, every year or so, or every 2 years, you go to the Bluebird and play. And it's like, it's very similar to the acoustic show that we're doing right now. It kind of brings you back to your roots. And, there's only maybe, 75, 100 people in the room all jammed in there. But the vibe is incredible, and it's an amazing listening environment. People are very respectful, and they listen. And, you get on the stage of the Bluebird, and you realize the amount of amazing artists who have played that little tiny room. So it's very cool.
And I heard that you said that, when you started playing in these places in Nashville, you really had to up your game because the talent in Nashville, in every single bar you go into, in terms of musicians, they're really amazing.
Oh, yeah. There's no better... There's no higher bar set than the musicianship in Nashville. I will say that unequivocally. I realized that I started going to Nashville in the 90s to write songs when Daryl and I weren't touring very much. And that's the first thing I realized. I remember going into a recording studio to cut a couple demos of some new songs I had written. And a friend of mine had assembled this amazing group of musicians to play with me. And as soon as I got in there and we started playing, I said, whoa, hold on, these guys are incredible. And really, for me, I had been coasting for a number of years, in terms of my guitar playing and things like that. And I started practicing. I started woodshedding. I really started to dig in to my guitar playing on a more serious level. And it's been one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me.
John Oates, an evening of songs and stories with John Oates featuring Guthrie Trapp, Sony Hall, March 22nd in the city. More info, you go to johnoates.com. John Oates, great talking with you.
Thanks a lot. That was a great interview. Appreciate it.